Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio is continuing to see rising numbers of COVID-19. We're now joined by the new interim director of the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, Colleen Bridger. And Colleen Bridger, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you have a question for Colleen Bridger, we would love to hear from you. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. So, Colleen Bridger, we understand that. Let's talk about what's happening this weekend right now so that people have a really good idea what to expect. The city and the county have called for, they're closing the parks for this 4th of July holiday weekend. Can you tell us about that?
That's correct. It'll be exactly like what happened over the Easter long weekend. Parks will be closed, but the trailways will be open. So basically, when people are out and about, we want them to keep moving. So those opportunities will still be open, but the picnic table and congregating areas will be closed.
So the picnic tables will be like marked off, preventing people from using them. Not everyone pays close attention to the news, so people may show up thinking that they can use these facilities. They have to be made aware that they can't.
Yes, and a lot of the entrances to the parks will be barricaded off, and people will be notified while they're on the trails that they're not allowed to go onto the parks to just sit.
Will there be tickets or just informational, telling people this can't happen?
Just informational. Because we did this at Easter, we know that mostly it's people didn't know, and so when we let them know, they move on.
Now, there was an announcement yesterday of saying that businesses would have to take on extra responsibilities, checking, screening customers before they came inside, and then that's been withdrawn. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Several weeks ago, the mayor and judge issued an order that required businesses to require masks when people entered their premises. That has been expanded to include however the businesses want to do this, but a health screening. So it could range from a sign that says, if you have the following symptoms, please do not enter our premises. It could involve somebody going over the sign with individuals, letting them know that they're not allowed to enter if they're not feeling well or exhibiting any of those symptoms. But basically, we're trying to keep people who don't feel well from interacting with people in area businesses.
So has the order been rescinded? I mean, because it seemed like from surveying the media, we heard that the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, they said they didn't want to take the responsibility of having to take temperature checks and interview people before they could walk into local retailers, because that was a lot of responsibility.
We did hear some feedback from area businesses and organizations saying that that put them in a difficult position. And so, you know, we reconsidered and decided that we would not require temperature checks, but instead would really encourage people to stay home if they're not feeling well, and remind people of that fact by the posting of the symptoms and telling people not to enter if they're not feeling well.
So can businesses, if they choose to, do things like temperature checks?
Absolutely. We highly recommend it. If that's something they want to do, that's great.
And that's as simple as taking one of those laser screeners and just put it at someone's forehead, and it takes 3 seconds.
That's right. I do it every morning before I come into my office.
If they get someone with a temperature over, 100.3? Is that what is the cutoff?
99.6.
And then they would tell that individual, you can't come in, and they have every right to do that?
Yes.
And would they say you need to go to a doctor or what? I mean, there should be some sort of follow-up, right?
Well, if it's a business, they'll say you have a fever, you are not allowed to enter. We recommend you go seek medical attention. They can't really tell them what to do. A lot of the businesses are already doing this with their employees, and they have protocols that say if you have a fever or if you have any of these symptoms, don't come to work. If you come to work and you say, yes, I have any of these symptoms, or it shows that you have a fever, you have to go home and stay home until you are no longer sick or until a medical provider clears you.
So clearly we have a change of leadership at the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. Is that going to change anything as how the district is operating and responding to COVID-19?
I don't think so. I've been at the helm for 4 days, 3.5 days. But what I see is that we have an incredible team that's doing incredible work. They've been working 7 days a week for 5 months, and I think the only change that we might look at is how we can provide some relief to them, because no human being should work 7 days a week, 70 hours a week, without stop for 5 months.
Right, and we're seeing how that is taking a toll, not just here in San Antonio, but across the country. We're seeing heads of health departments step away. I mean, this is not what a lot of people have signed up for. Is this heavy responsibility, all of this attention, all of this pressure and stress, and political stress as well.
It's a tough job. I've heard our city manager say that right now being a health director is a more difficult job than being a police chief or a fire chief. So it's definitely a difficult job.
So we just wanted to, so with this pandemic response, the health department's response plan, is that still the one that we had before? Is that pretty much intact? Or is that going to be continually updated or adapted? Or are there things that you want to see changed now that you are the interim director of San Antonio Metropolitan Health?
I think this is a natural progression of changes as we experience something that nobody's ever experienced before. So in the beginning, you know, we talk about this fondly. We say, remember when we had 100 cases in a day? That was a really big deal. And, you know, 2 days ago, we had 1,200 cases. So we built a system based on 100 cases a day being a really big deal. Now we have to be able to adapt to 1,200 cases a day being a really big deal. And so that tenfold increase is causing us to think more in terms of how do we use technology rather than just pen and paper, and how can we engage the community in helping us get this message out. So they're not massive changes, they're just nuanced adaptations to our current situation.
We're talking today with Dr. Colleen Bridger. She's now leading the health department's pandemic response efforts as cases surge in San Antonio. What questions do you have about COVID-19 and what the city is doing in terms of testing, contact tracing, and new guidelines for local businesses? Call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Women in Texas are more diverse than ever, but women of color are increasingly economically insecure.
I mean, I wish I could say things were like getting just stunningly better for women in our state, but there are still lots of work to be done.
The reality of women in the Texas economy. Next time on Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about changing leadership at San Antonio Metropolitan Health. We're joined by Colleen Bridger, the Assistant City Manager of the City of San Antonio, and now the Interim Director of the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. When you were the assistant city manager, and you still are, but now that you are being told to take over an interim director of Metro Health, are you having to still do both jobs?
Pretty much, yes.
And but you were, as assistant city manager, kind of, you were doing oversight for Metro Health?
That's right. Metro Health was one of the departments I oversaw.
And so with the 4th of July weekend, what can we tell people to how a way they can mark the holiday, have fun, but still keep safe when we know that there's a lot of COVID-19 out there?
Yeah, the most important message we're trying to get out to people is if you do not live with somebody, do not socialize with them this weekend. There's what we're seeing is a tremendous amount of family-to-family transmission of the virus. So aunts and uncles and cousins, and somehow this perception of, well, if they're in your family, they're nothing to worry about. So we're seeing a lot of transmission among family members who are socializing in large groups, which is something that we highly, highly discourage, especially this weekend.
Let's go to the phone lines, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Melody is on the line. Melody, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Melody Kumalov. I'm a pediatric hospitalist over at Methodist Children's Hospital. Not calling with a question, just to make a comment. I'm really imploring all business owners to take the effort, just an extra 10 seconds for a very quick screening, you know, do you have fever, any known COVID exposures, any cough, and then take a very quick, you know, temperature. And it really would be a great way to, you know, lower the risk of a spread in San Antonio. We're just seeing an incredible surge in the hospital, a lot of adult COVID patients coming in, displacing other patients as well, a lot of pediatric COVID patients as well. I had to transfer one of my patients to the ICU. I mean, these are critically ill patients. So anything business owners can do to minimize the risks would be greatly appreciated by the entire San Antonio community.
Thank you for calling in, Melody, with that. Colleen Bridger, do you have anything to add to that?
Kudos. I agree completely. And I think that's one of the keys to stopping the transmission is to have really educated community messengers who can help spread that word as well.
Another caller, let's go to Justin. And Justin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, Colleen. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for the difficult job that you're, you know, position that you're in right now. We really need great leadership. I want to ask, you know, as the person who left, she left saying that the person of color should be in her job next. To me, that is kind of saying that she thinks that it's going to be bad is why she's leaving, but also that it's going to be bad for people of color when this starts to really hit and increase in deaths and confirms and all that kind of stuff. Is there things being done right now that are meant to offset that or to make sure that that doesn't happen as far as efficient and fair resource allocation or a coordination between hospitals and, you know, the entire city? Or what does that look like?
Justin, thank you for the call. Colleen Bridger?
I will say that this latest spike, so the first time we had an increase in cases, we called it a wave because it felt more gentle. This feels a lot more aggressive, so we're calling it a spike. This spike in cases is affecting a younger population and is affecting Hispanics at a higher percentage. And so we are targeting our testing and our messaging to those two demographics to make sure that they understand that here are all the resources that are available for screening, for testing, for if you need, you know, an isolation care facility. All of those things are being done in English and in Spanish and are being targeted to areas of the city where we know we have a lot of Hispanics who are living or working.
And let's go to another caller, and this is Erica. And Erica, thank you for calling in. You're on the air with Colleen Bridger, the interim director of San Antonio Metropolitan Health District.
Yes, hello. I was wondering whether a face shield can substitute for a mask and be as effective.
Erica, thank you for the call. Colleen Bridger?
That's a question that we are not entirely sure. The mask information is pretty clear that that's, especially if it's a well-designed mask, that's a fairly effective way if both individuals are wearing masks to decrease the transmission between people. The face shields are more comfortable to wear, and they cover the eyes and the mouth, but there's a lot of air that can get out underneath the face mask. And so there's some studies that say, yes, they're just as effective as masks. There are other studies that say they're not as effective as masks. So I think that's one of those things where we're still learning about this virus and how it's transmitted. At this point, I still just wear a mask. I do not wear a face shield, and I don't wear a face shield all by itself.
Colleen Bridger, there was a CNN report within the last 24 hours that looked at San Antonio hospitals. I want to play a cut from that.
Another lesson of the pandemic, trying to reduce recovery times and free up beds, badly needed for an expected growing surge of people seriously sick with the coronavirus.
Right now, we are so full upstairs that we are having some delays in getting the patients upstairs because there just aren't beds that are prepared and ready for COVID patients. Right. So we are holding a lot of them in the emergency department right now. Some for hours, some for days.
What's driving the surge here? Doctors aren't entirely sure, but based on what they hear from patients, there was a sense that the worst was behind us.
I don't think that there was one specific incident that really led to this spike. I think people after March and April were extremely frustrated with being inside, and as soon as those restrictions lifted, they wanted to get out. Some protected themselves, some didn't. And now we're just seeing the result of that.
With the holiday weekend coming up, the fear now, the surge of patients, will become a tidal wave.
I don't think I have seen anything like this ever. And I would say that if you want to see August 1st, then maybe you should stay indoors and isolate on July 4th.
This was an emotional story. The reporter really broke down trying to explain it to the anchor. And it was really drove home how bad it is and how our local hospitals are being stressed right now. Colleen Bridger, did you see that story? And do you think it was indicative of where we are across the local region?
I do think it's indicative of where we are in San Antonio. We have daily afternoon calls. Every afternoon at 4:30, we have a call with the mayor and the judge, the hospital systems, the fire department, and the health department. And we talk about bed capacity. We talk about ventilator capacity. And it's very, very clear that our healthcare system is extremely stressed right now. And, you know, they're doubling every week, and if that keeps happening, we're going to run out of bed space. So that's why we're so focused on decreasing the number of cases, because if we can decrease the number of cases, that will result in a decrease in the number of people needing to go to the hospital.
Okay, let's go back to the callers. This is Juan, and Juan, thanks for calling into The Source. You're on the air.
Dave, thank you for taking my call. Dr. Bridger, this is Juan Gutierrez, Chair of Math at UTSA. First of all, thank you for taking back the helm. We are in very good hands with you. Thank you for coming back. The question is simple. If cases grow too much, what is the threshold of too much in which we will be unable to do case tracing anymore or in a rapid manner that would inform public health policy?
So when does contact tracing become no longer necessary because there's so much COVID out in the community?
We're having that conversation right now. And a couple of nights ago, I was on the mayor's TV broadcast, and that was the day that we had over 1,200 cases in one day. And clearly, we couldn't get out and do those case investigations and start that contact tracing process on 1,200 people in one day. So my plea to the community was, do your own contact tracing. You know who you came in contact with. Reach out to them. Let them know that you've tested positive for COVID-19 and encourage them to quarantine for 14 days. So I think that it's not going to be a situation where, you know, one day we abruptly just say, it's too much, we can't do contact tracing anymore, we're done. But we're going to use innovative ways to get that work done, whether it's using additional technology, whether it's deputizing all of the 2 million people in Bexar County to be junior epidemiologists and do their own contact tracing. That would be really, really helpful for us.
All right, I'm going to get a caller here. This is Chad. And Chad, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call. My wife's a local ICU nurse here, and their supplies are dwindling quite rapidly. Even with the second wave, they're having to share, sterilize N95s and cut cleaning wipes in half. What are we doing to empower our nurses and the hospital workers with the supplies they need to actually get the job done and save lives?
Chad, thank you for that update. Appreciate that. Colleen Bridger.
So that's interesting. I was in a meeting this morning with the executive director of the STRAC, which is the Regional Advisory Council for all hospitals, and we were discussing, was there a shortage of PPE? And what we were told is no. So I think that might be an individual location challenge rather than an across-the-board system challenge. So just a reminder that for individual hospitals, if they are running low on PPE, to reach out to STRAC to order more supplies.
What if other departments are having these same situations? You're hearing one thing from the executives, but if individual nurses, are they able to have contact with the health department and you and the mayor and the county judge? I mean, how can we keep those lines of communication open?
There is a, the health department runs the COVID hotline. So if they want to call the Metro Health hotline and, bring those concerns to their attention, we will reach out to STRAC and see if we can coordinate getting more PPE to them. So that would be my recommendation.
Let's go to one last caller. This is Edna. Edna, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just lost a family member overnight to COVID, and I am wondering, if you take the COVID test, who's to say that the next day you don't get exposed? Or, I mean, I'm sorry, you do get exposed. How should we behave even after we've gotten the test?
All right, Edna, thank you for that. Colleen Bridger.
That raises a really good point. A lot of people are told you've been exposed to COVID-19 and they go get a test. And that test, if it's negative, tells them absolutely nothing. It's really important that if you're exposed to COVID-19, that you keep yourself away from other people, that you quarantine for 14 days, because you could have a negative test one day and then you could get sick the next day. A negative COVID-19 test after you've been exposed to somebody does not tell you that you're good to go. Only 14 days passing from the last time you were exposed to somebody who is sick gets you that assurance that you're good to go.
So I have about 30 seconds left. Colleen Bridger, you had already announced that you were going to exit working for the city of San Antonio. And now things, of course, are in turmoil. And here you are, the interim director of San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. What are your plans right now? Are you still planning on sticking around, or are you still looking at the door?
I am going to stay until a permanent director is hired, and then I will resume my plans to start my own company.
Colleen Bridger is the assistant city manager of the city of San Antonio and the interim director of the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. Colleen Bridger, it's great to have you back. Great to have you here. And when we come back from the break, we're talking about the COVID economy. Stay tuned.